We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, welcome to Proof to Product. I am your host, Katie Hunt, and today on the show, I have one of my mastermind clients, Betsy Garcia from Bloom Wolf Studio. Bloom Wolf Studio is a Latina-owned and operated illustration and design studio based in Orlando, Florida. It's run by a husband and wife team, Luis Sosa and Betsy Garcia. They launched Bloom Wolf Studio in late 2015 with digital downloads on Etsy and have gone on to develop a large line of products that focus on spreading joy and promoting social change. Betsy and Luis have exhibited at the National Stationery Show. They've literally participated in hundreds of pop-up markets, and their products are carried in over 400 stores nationwide. On today's episode, we covered a lot of ground. We talked about the development of the Bloom Wolf product line, what came first, how they found a printer, and how they ordered way too much product in their first run. We talked about the mission of Bloom Wolf to create change through art and messaging, and how Betsy has actively weaved their personal beliefs into her everyday business practices and marketing. Betsy also shared details about how she and Luis set and monitor financial goals in the business. She talked about why they chose a 25% increase in revenue as their 2020 goal and how they've exceeded that in their first 8 months of business for the year and in the middle of a pandemic, too. And we capped off the episode talking about the fun we are having on TikTok and how Bloom Wolf amassed over 7,500 TikTok followers in the first month. It's pretty crazy, right? Well, before we jump into this powerful and transparent episode, I want to let you know that what we have coming up inside of Proof to Product Labs, it's my 12-month group coaching program. And in October, we are focusing on all things Instagram. Engaging with your customers, Instagram giveaways, and what are these reels? We want social media to be fun again while also growing your sales. So to join us inside of Proof to Product Labs, head to prooftoproduct.com/labs. Now let's jump into this incredible episode with Betsy Garcia of Bloom Wolf Studio. Hey, Betsy, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Hey, Katie, thanks so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. Okay, I want to kick this off by taking you back to November of 2015. I didn't know this about you, but you were planning to go to med school and ultimately ended up creating this business. So what's the backstory there?
Luis and I, we started Bloom Wolf in November of 2015. So I was supposed to be studying for the MCAT and applying to medical school during that time. I was also actually teaching middle school science. So it was a really stressful time.
Yeah.
But sometime previous to that, I had mentioned to Luis that as a child, I had dreams of becoming an artist, which is completely different from what I was pursuing at the time. I mentioned to him that I went to an art-focused middle school and I fell in love with graphic design and digital illustration. But once I moved on to high school and then on to college, art was basically removed from my life. So I really had no creative outlet in my late teens or my early 20s because my sole focus at the time was academics and pursuing a career in healthcare.
Yeah.
So 2015 came around and Luis and I were together, but this was about a year after I graduated from college and I was taking that break to study and also working as a teacher. So I started looking for a creative outlet again. I started drawing. I used to do a lot of pencil drawings, mostly like portraits and stuff like that. And then Luis, for Christmas, one year, he got me a drawing tablet and he got me Photoshop for my computer. So I think that's what really reignited my love for digital illustration. So I started doing that again and I started following other artists on Instagram. That's when I saw that people were selling their prints of their art. So I thought maybe that I could do that too. So then I opened my Etsy shop, and because I didn't know too much about printing, I was only offering digital downloads at the time, but I soon stumbled upon the stationery world. And that's when the business wheels in my head that I had no idea even existed really started moving. I really dug into it and started looking into the stationery world and like stationery businesses and what they were doing and what the whole industry was really about. I think I spent quite a bit of time researching before I proposed the idea of starting a stationery business to Lewis. But once I did, he was immediately on board, which was amazing. He's really ambitious and he's always dreamt of having a business. So when I came to him with the idea, he became my partner really, and we just did it together.
I think that's amazing that you were able to create this business with your partner who has a completely different skill set, but is obviously a huge cheerleader of you and your talents and your skills. And I don't know, it's disclaimer for the people listening. I've been able to watch Betsy's business grow because she's in my mastermind, and just hearing how she and Lewis work together, it's been amazing. So I love hearing this backstory because I didn't know all of this.
Yeah, I tell him all the time, like, and he tells me all the time too, but he says, or I tell him, I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you. And he knows it. So he knows that he's my biggest cheerleader and stuff. And I'm so grateful for him. But yeah, after we both decided on starting the business, things started moving a little bit quicker. And we did everything that needed to be done. So we came up with the name. He built our website because he's a software engineer. We did the whole LLC thing, all that stuff. And then I started just more digital illustration, creating our card designs. We had to research printers and, like, you know, the standards for the industry and practices and things like that. So we really had absolutely no background in business. We knew no one that had a background in business. So we had to just figure things out as we went. But it was nice being able to do it with him because we were able to give each other feedback. And
totally.
I feel like I wouldn't have been able to do it on my own for sure.
I love this because, okay, so you started on Etsy and you had digital downloads, and then it sounds like cards were your next like physical product that you did. Is that correct?
That's correct. So when we finally landed on a printer, a local printer here in Orlando. So what we did when we were starting the business is I told Lewis, like, hey, look at this stationery world. Like, this is what I want to build. This is what I want us to be doing. And then I figured that I had to make all of these cards, and then we had to find a printer because we didn't have any, we weren't going to be able to print what we wanted at home or anything like that. So what we did was Lewis actually got on Google and he looked up printer, commercial printers in Orlando, and we actually made appointments with all of these commercial printers, and we had absolutely no idea what we were doing. We had absolutely what we were going to tell them, but we printed out like some mock-ups of some of my designs on just our regular inkjet printers. We would take them to these printers and be like, we're starting a stationery business. We need someone to print our cards. This is kind of what we're looking for. And some of them had no idea what we were planning on doing or what we were talking about and stuff. But when we finally did land on one that had experience printing greeting cards before, I guess I started getting the ball rolling even more. So I started coming up with more designs, and we ended up developing 40 SKUs for our first print run.
Okay.
And not knowing anything, you know, we decided to get 600 of each SKU printed.
Oh my gosh. For those listening that are new to this, that's a lot for a first time business to run per SKU.
Yeah. And being honest, we still have some of those cards in storage right now. So it was crazy.
This is very timely. I want to interrupt you for 1 second. This is very timely because we just had our first week of the Paper Camp e-course call last night. And there were a ton of questions of how much should I run of a product the first time I'm releasing it, you know? And our advice was start small, do the minimums. You're going to pay a higher price per piece to start, but you could test the market. And then as you order, reorder, you know, that's where you bump up your quantities and get your pricing down. But you jumped all in, man.
Don't do 600 on the first print.
No, don't. Okay. So you went from greeting cards, but you now have like stickers and notebooks. Like, you have a really wide collection. So how did you decide which of those products you wanted to layer into the line? Did you do it one by one, or did you kind of go gangbusters and go deep at one time?
So we didn't do go big or go home with those things. We kind of learned after the first print run. So we started with the cards. And then when we went to our first NSS in 2016, we actually had, I think it was about like 59 SKUs for cards. And we had like six for notepads. After that, we continued doing more cards, and cards are still the bulk of our business. And we did more notepads, but then we did like more research and development and figured out like different products that we wanted to add to our line. Mm-hmm. After I think the cards and the notepads, we did pocket notebooks. It's just difficult to find production partners for a lot of the things. So we've had to do a lot of, I guess, like test prints and different things like that, even with our local printer, just to get the quality that we're really after. But I think that's why, and also the cost of introducing new products. So because it is so costly and things like that, we've just tried to be more intentional with it and just introduce things, I guess, little by little, more one at a time than just a bunch of things at the same time.
That's smart. And that's what I would advise people to. We were talking about this during the e-course call last night too, of like, if you're going to go into new product category, I was recommending that people choose one and do maybe a 6 SKUs in that product category, do the minimum quantities for manufacturing, see how it goes. And if it goes well, then you can go deeper into it. You can create more of those products. I totally agree with you there. I have so many things I want to say yay you on. First off, you guys outsourcing from the get-go was a huge move. That's super smart. I see a lot of people that start printing at home or doing other things, and it makes it more difficult for them to make that leap into full-fledged business, because at that point, it's still somewhat, not for everybody, but for a lot of people, it's a hobby business, right? When we're trying to do all the manufacturing and printing at home and cutting things down and all that. So kudos to you, because that freed you guys up to do other things. Also, the growth, the decision-making that you guys have done, it's been very impressive, because you have had steady but methodical growth. So just kudos to both of you guys on that. I know you and Lewis are a great team on that. I want to shift the conversation a little bit. You know, one of Bloom Wolf's missions is to create social change through your art and your products. And I personally have learned so much from you. And I admire how you've been speaking up about the elections, Black Lives Matter, and other social situations. I know this is not anything new to you. You've been doing it for a long time. But have you always been vocal and active about these types of issues?
Thank you, Katie. That means a lot. But I will say that in my business, I have never been as vocal as I am now. So I have always been vocal about social issues in my personal life and have taken steps to educate myself about the inequities suffered in this country. And I've also grown up in this country as a Mexican American, so the daughter of Mexican immigrants. So I have felt some of the backlash of being brown, but I've never made it as clear as I have now that I will also be outspoken in my business. Having done so has been what I feel is one of the proudest moments that I've experienced thus far in running my business. I know a lot of times people are afraid to speak up for fear of losing business. And even when I started speaking out, my parents warned me that there would be people who would not be happy with the fact that I was voicing my opinions, but I made it clear to them that what we're facing now goes beyond my business and it goes beyond losing sales. And if I do lose customers because they don't agree that Black Lives Matter or because they don't believe in basic human rights for all, then so be it. Those are not the customers that I want to have anyways.
I'm over here nodding my head. Yes, yes, yes. I agree with you. I think a lot of business owners, small business owners, are held back by that fear. And you have done an incredible job of voicing these things through your art, through your messaging. You mentioned that you were louder maybe in your personal values, in your personal life about these things, but now you're weaving them intentionally into your business. What actual action steps are you taking to do that?
The first thing that Lewis and I did was we discussed what we wanted our business to stand for. So apart from being a business, we also wanted to contribute to social change and things like that, like you said. So what we did is we sat down and we went through what our values are, so what we believe in and things like that. And we made it clear on our website. So on our About Us page, we have the About Us, but then we also have our mission and what we work towards as a business. And then we have our values. So all of the things that we believe in. So if our customers go to our website, it's clear for everyone to see that this is where we stand and what we believe in. Apart from that, I also think that a lot of our values have to do with hope and acceptance and really making our customers feel celebrated. Mm-hmm. So I've started making new products that reflect these things. And I've also been trying to add a more personal voice to all of our social posts and emails to help our customers understand where we're coming from and that we care about a lot of the same things that they do. So we just want to, we don't want to hide anything that we believe in. We just want to put it out there and let people know that we want our business to be much more than just a business.
Yeah. Have you experienced backlash?
So we have experienced some backlash. In 2017, I made a Women's March print. So it was, it had signs, different signs that were seen during the Women's March and things like that. So that was the first time that I faced backlash because we were donating a proceeds from that print to Planned Parenthood. So a lot of people have problems with Planned Parenthood and things like that. But personally in my life, I've actually, there was a time where I didn't have health insurance. So I was using Planned Parenthood's services. So I know how important they are in the community and things like that. So that was the first time that we faced backlash. And now more recently with our Black Lives Matter art and our voting things and stuff like that, we've also had some customers that have DM'd me and have said things, and customers that have said that they're never going to buy from me again and things like that. And I mean, I guess it just comes with the territory and it's expected. So I've just been trying to have thick skin and just kind of brush it off because those people can't stop us from what we're trying to achieve.
Absolutely. I think you're right. We're never going to be in a situation where everyone agrees with how we choose to run our business, what we choose to talk about on social media, even things that have nothing to do with politics or social issues. Like, people may be upset about our pricing or, you know, the products we're creating, you know, but this in particular, like, I think it's admirable that you guys are, you know who you are, you're standing tall in that, you're putting it on your website, you're putting it into your products. You're a very talented artist, but also a thoughtful and eloquent writer. And everything from your emails to your social posts and your web copy, it really does speak to the brand and to who you and Lewis are as well, and the faces behind the brand. So do you plan out your marketing in advance, or how far ahead do you plan usually?
So I try to plan out marketing as best as I can. I wish I had like a really awesome schedule that was just really
easy to follow. Don't sell yourself short. You are pretty damn organized, lady.
Thanks in part to you, of course, but I do try to plan it out as best as I can. So at the beginning of each year, I go through email marketing ideas for each month and try to schedule out email topics based off release schedules, holidays, stuff like that. I learned this again in part from you, so thank you. Currently, I have a general goal when it comes to email marketing for our wholesale customers. So I try to get one out to them once per month. So far, I've been able to stay on track with that, which has been good. For our retail customers, it's been a bit more fluid. So I was trying to send out 1 to 2 newsletters per month, but with so much going on, it's been hard to do. So my main form of communication and marketing with our retail customers at this time has been social media. Mm-hmm. I try to plan out social posts and campaigns at the beginning of the month and then dig in deeper at least a week in advance. So if I need to create any graphics or anything like that, I have that ready to go for the following week. I feel like with our marketing, nothing is ever set in stone. Yeah. So things are always changing.
Well, I would say that's especially true with 2020. Like, even when we have a plan, like, it gets derailed for sure. So
for sure.
Okay. I want to talk about your finances, if that's okay with you. Is that all right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. You know, you and I have been working together for, I think it's about 9 months now in my mastermind group. When we were talking before you joined, one of your main goals at the beginning of the year was to increase your annual revenue by 25%. And that was for all of your revenue streams, your retail, your wholesale, all of it. First off, I wanted to ask, because I know a lot of people are like, how do people arrive at these financial goals that they set for themselves? So how did you decide that you and Lewis were going to be reaching for a 25% increase in revenue for this year?
So I feel like it's really like how we got to it is really amateur and really like just random, I feel, but I'll tell you how we did it. So Lewis and I, we started setting financial goals for our business in 2018. So I think in 2018, we were trying to double our sales from the previous year, and we were actually able to do it, which was amazing. In 2019, we looked at the numbers and decided to be a bit more conservative and decided to set our goal at 50% growth. So for 2019, we grew by 29% instead of our initial goal of 50. So when it was time to set our financial goals for 2020, we just decided on a 25% increase.
Okay. First off, I love how you reach for the stars. Two, I love that you're using past data to set these goals for yourself. And also, I want to acknowledge that when our businesses are younger, it is much easier to have these larger percentage jumps in terms of revenue and growth, right? Because you go from $1 to $5, that's a huge increase, right? You go from 1,000 to, you know, five, it's, I guess that's the same, but you know, you go, it's harder to make those jumps. So I like how you adjusted things based upon your own growth patterns. That's really cool. With the unexpected rise of COVID and everything else that's been going on in 2020, I feel like it's been a dumpster fire. Much of, well, also the point that much of your business revenue has in the past come from in-person retail markets that you've done. You guys do a lot of in-person shows. How have you guys had to pivot to stay on track with meeting these financial goals for yourself this year?
We've definitely had to pivot for sure. In our business, our sales are pretty equally split between wholesale and retail. And last year, 70% of our retail sales actually came from those in-person retail markets. So that's a really significant part of how we sell direct to consumer. We did about 50 shows last year. So we had a show almost every weekend. And this year we were expecting to do the same. So when COVID hit and all of our markets got canceled, we had to figure out what we could do to still bring in that revenue and still connect with our customers. So we've turned to doing things like virtual markets. We've ramped up our email marketing for our consumers a little bit. And we've also been better about showcasing our products and business on social media.
Okay. What are you doing now that you weren't necessarily planning on earlier this year? Like when you set out your big roadmap, what is kind of new that you weren't expecting to do?
So we're having weekends off, which we were not planning on, but it's been amazing. We've been participating in those virtual markets, like I said, and finding more ways to drive sales to our website. We've been offering different services to our customers, like including gift notes with their order in case they want to send gifts to friends or family. Or during the start of COVID, we were also supplying them with free stamps to promote letter writing. In July, I planned and promoted a virtual sale, which led to us having one of the best months to date, which was awesome. Yeah, I'm also sharing a lot more behind the scenes footage on social media and connecting more with our customers. I also started a TikTok account.
I was going to say, should we talk about TikTok? I don't know. But let's finish the finances first.
And that's definitely something that I never thought would happen, but I'm a TikToker now, I guess.
Yes, you are.
But all of these things have helped my business grow this year, and they're practices that I will definitely take with me into the new year and beyond for sure.
Yeah, I really think you've done a great job of stretching yourself in different ways that you might not have been comfortable with. I mean, the TikToks are one example of that, right? But like even the virtual shows, that was a real unknown for all of us. And you really dove in headfirst and made the best of it, and you had great results from that. So it's fun to hear you talk about the weekends off and all these other things that have shifted in your business while at the same time you've continued to grow. So we are recording this in early September. Are you comfortable sharing how close you are to hitting this 25% increase for the year? Are you on track? Are you behind?
Sure. So I just ran our numbers right before this, and we're actually at a 26% increase from last year's sales. So Lewis and I are really excited about that. Despite everything that's been happening, we're really happy to be on track to where we want to be.
That's amazing. And we still have 4 months to go.
Yeah, I'm scared, but we're going to do it.
No, you're excited. You're excited, right? Like, yeah. I mean, so, okay, this brings me to like kind of a follow-up then. Are you going to reset the goal from 25 since you already accomplished that? Or are you gonna bump it up?
You mean for next year or?
No, for even just the remainder of the year.
For the remainder of the year, we're going to stick to the 25 increase just because our fourth quarter is usually, it's where we make a lot of our sales. So we're really going to have to figure out like what we can do to drive those sales in during the last few months of the year.
True. And you still have your standard expenses to think of too. So we will have to see where things shake out at the end of the year. Okay, cool. Well, you know, what tools are you and Lewis using to track the financial progress? Are you guys like, what kind of best practices have you put into place? Are you looking at your monthly profit and loss statements? Are you comparing year over year numbers? Kind of what's your plan there?
So Lewis and I, we have a few spreadsheets that we look at monthly. Lewis looks at them weekly because he updates them all the time.
He's my kind of guy.
Yeah. But we have one that breaks down our yearly goal into smaller monthly goals. So because our sales fluctuate throughout the year and some months are much busier than others, we actually outline our goals in terms of this. So we calculate the increase month by month. This way, a large chunk of our sales do come from the fourth quarter sales, and we're not pressured to make the same amount each month. But apart from that, we also have our other spreadsheet that has, you know, all the charts and stuff like that. But it has all of our operating expenses, our revenue, and all of those other things that Lewis does.
Well, Lewis, we appreciate you for digging through those numbers. I always ask Betsy on her calls, where are you at with this? I want to know.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's fun to look at.
It is. And it's a very tangible metric for your success, right? Like, you're putting in this time, this effort, you're creating new art, you're putting time into this marketing, you're doing all these things, you're taking all the right steps. So to see it then in these financial reports has to be just a huge celebration for you guys.
I think it was at the beginning of this year, I started reading Profit First, and I showed it to Lewis. I was like, hey, you have to read this book and you have to do everything that it says so that we can increase our net income and do all of these things. So he read it and he's like, all right, this is pretty good. So let's start doing this. And it's amazing for anyone that hasn't read it, but it's definitely helped us stay on track and it's helped us increase our net income. So last year we were at 30% net income. This year we're at 50% net income. So it's been amazing. It's helped us decrease our operating expenses and all of those things.
That is awesome. I'm glad you brought up profit too, because I know your goals were set on revenue, but I actually just messaged all of you guys on Voxer in our mastermind group the other day of like, I know we often set goals in terms of the revenue we want to tackle, but really, truly, I do want you guys looking at that net income, that profit of what you're putting in your pocket or what you're able to reinvest in the business. And so I'm glad you read that book. Profit First is great. We'll drop it in the show notes for anyone that has not had a chance to read it yet. But I'm just so happy for you. I'm happy that you have turned a very difficult year, to put that mildly, into a growth year still for your business. Like, you've maintained steady communication with all your customers. You've continued to tell people that you have new product. You've continued to tell them that you're open and shipping. You've been empathetic to the stores that are struggling. You've been supportive of your customers that need it. So I just, again, kudos to you for not only setting these types of goals, but shifting when needed and then obtaining them. Still here with about 4 months left to go in the year, which is awesome. I want to circle back to TikTok for a minute, even though I didn't prep you for this kind of question. But when people hear that we've gotten on TikTok, I think they look at me sideways, and I'm sure you probably get the same. And I found it to be a fun way to engage with people that just felt kind of silly and fun at the beginning. But then I realized, wait, I can use this as a tool for business. And now that Reels is coming out, I'm kind of double dipping in the whole posting things on TikTok and posting it on Reels. How has your experience with TikTok been so far?
So it's been really good. My sister has been helping me in part just because she's younger than I am and she's more active on TikTok. I really wasn't on it before we started our TikTok, but she, even though, I mean, she works with me in our business, but she's in college and things like that. But she found herself on TikTok watching business TikTok. So like packing, that's what she does all day, but she's still watching packing TikToks. She's like, this is awesome. You should do this for Bloom Wolf and stuff. So we started making time-lapse videos of me hand lettering or like videos of us packaging or just behind the scenes things showing people like what our studio looks like or the types of things that we use and things like that. And we've gotten a really good response. So I feel like TikTok, it's really easy to just grow an audience, I want to say, just because things go viral a lot quicker than they do on Instagram. So I think we're up to like 7,500 followers on TikTok, and we've only been on there for like a little bit over a month.
That's amazing.
So it's been good. And even now, like, we get orders on our website, and in the notes section, people will write, I found you on TikTok, which is crazy.
That is crazy. Okay. So for those listening, I want to give you a little backstory here. I was a lurker on TikTok for a good month or so. And I'm like, okay, how are people using this for business? Like, I get the dancing and the lip syncing and it's fun and it's silly, but like, how can we truly use it for business that portrays who we are as a brand and shows behind the scenes kind of things? And then I got on and I told you guys, I'm like, you should try this. Like, I'm just experimenting. I don't have any expectations for it. Let's see how it goes. And Betsy grabbed the bull by the horn. And like she and her sister like started posting, and the videos were so, they're so informative. They're so fun. They're great behind the scenes. I think you've grown so quickly because you have engaging content. There aren't a ton of businesses on there right now doing what you do. So I think it people are attracted to it and interested in what you're doing.
Yeah, and I think our customers just love getting that behind the scenes. It helps them feel more connected to our brand. And I guess it helps build like customer loyalty because they get to see inside to what we're doing and the things we do on the day to day and things like that. So it's really interesting. And like you mentioned before, we now have those videos that we used on TikTok and now we're posting them on Reels. And the videos on Reels, we found that I think one of ours, like a few of ours has like 20,000 views or something like that. And it's on Instagram, which I wasn't expecting, but they've been doing really well on there as well. So if it's something that people have been thinking about, I would definitely suggest that they jump into it. We did because you suggested it. So thank you for that.
No worries. Yeah, I was blown away when Reels started and I would, like I said, multi-purpose. Well, I also don't have music on Instagram, so I can't make a Reel like I can make a TikTok. It's just easier for me to do it in TikTok with the music and everything. But when I started posting my repurposing the TikToks on Reels, it was bananas. I mean, some of them have, 3,000 views in the first 24 hours. And I don't get that kind of engagement in stories or on my actual posts. And so I do think it's still in that early adopter phase too. Some people are like, nope, can't do anything else right now. I'm not going to do it. But if you have fun with it and make it engaging,
it's kind of like a no pressure thing. Like,
yeah,
you don't have to put a lot of, like, don't put a lot of pressure on yourself to make an amazing Reel or TikTok or something like that. It's kind of more casual, like just do whatever, like people are going to watch it and like it. And
yeah, I feel like it's early days of Instagram, like before the perfect yeah. feed and everything has to be edited so beautifully together. Like it feels like an imperfect way to just connect with people and be yourself and show some things that you might not have otherwise shown. So
yeah, that's true.
Well, I'm glad you've had such good success with it. It's been fun to watch and see your videos because they're just so fun. And you do it in a really smart way that highlights the product, shows behind the scenes, explains who you are as a brand and as the owners of the company. So that's fun. Well, what is next for you? What are you focused on through the end of the year?
So we're focused on our goals for the rest of the year. So we definitely want to do what we can to reach those. We're also focused on everything that's going on in the country. So the election that's coming up and all of the social justice movement going on right now and things like that. So apart from our business goals, we definitely want to continue speaking out on all of those things in our business. We're working on new products to kind of showcase that a little bit. We just had a new release that we had for our wholesale customers, and we were supposed to release it for our retail customers, but fell behind a little bit, but we'll have it up. We have like new cards, new stickers. We just introduced sticker sheets. We have our new calendar that should be here by next week. So we have quite a bit going on.
That's amazing. Well, tell everyone where they can find you online if they want to check out your website, follow you on Instagram, or follow you on TikTok too.
Sure. So our website is bloomwolfstudio.com. On TikTok and on Instagram, we're just at bloomwolfstudio.
Awesome. We will include those links in the show notes. Betsy, it was so fun to chat with you today. Thank you for being so transparent with your financial goals and where you're at in reaching them. I think it's really helpful for people to hear what another business is going through. And then also thank you too for all that you're doing on the social issues. And I've learned so much from you and I just appreciate the work you're doing. So thank you for that too.
Thank you, Katie. That means a lot. And just working with you has been amazing. You've helped our business grow so much. Your community is amazing. We're just so happy to be a part of it.
Oh, thank you so much for that. Isn't Betsy amazing? I am so impressed with how she and Lewis run their business. Strong decision-making, thoughtful choices, and incredible determination. Be sure to check out Betsy's links in the show notes and go leave her some love on TikTok and Instagram Reels. Speaking of Reels, this is one of the topics that we're going to be tackling inside of Proof to Product Labs this month. I have been playing on Reels and TikToks for a few months now, and the engagement is bananas.
bananas. As of recording this, my reels are getting around 3,000 views compared to my stories, which are getting around 200 or 300 eyes on them. So it's a pretty big difference, right? Anyhow, if you want to learn how to make Instagram fun again and connect with your customers to get more sales, come join us inside of Proof to Product Labs. October is dedicated to talking about Instagram, and we'll talk about customer connections, giveaways, and reels. Prooftoproduct.com/labs is where you can register for this 12-month group coaching experience. Thank you so much for listening today. I will be back with a new episode next week.